We are in this series on faith, and if you haven't been here, I'll just kind of give you a quick summary. We're looking at this big word. It's like five or six letters. How many is it? F-A-I-T-A. Five letters, but it's a huge word. It's this word faith, and we're trying to figure out what this faith word really means in its entirety, because it's not just some little thing. It's not something that you can define, even though God's word does define it as being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you cannot see. That is a great definition, but it doesn't give it justice. Faith is one of the most important words, if not the most important word that we've got in this book, because this book is all about faith. From beginning to end, it is a book of faith. And faith is a word that is something that God really wants. As a matter of fact, it says you can't even please God. If you want to please God, you can't please God without faith, God's word says. It's an amazing word. He tells us that he wants us to walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is an incredible word. We've been looking at and going through a series on Hebrews chapter 11. So if you have your Bibles and would like to turn there, we're going to be right back there again. We're in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 8. We've gone through three different characters so far. We've looked at Abel and Enoch and Noah. And now we're looking at the one who is called the father of belief, the father of all believers, and his name is Abraham. This seems like such a simple little passage. I remember when I started, Nathan's smiling at me, it just seems like such a simple little passage. It seems so straightforward, so easy, so simple to understand what's going on here. But when you start digging into what's happened here, it's really actually pretty incredible. And when you take it and you internalize it and look at yourself, it's going to bring you to tears, I hope, when you think of the words, "My God never fails, he never gives up, he never runs out on me." This is the story of Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. It says very simply, By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Even though he did not know where he was going, by faith he made his home in the promised land. Like a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Seems so simple, doesn't it? It seems like this is just a simple story. You got this man named Abraham. Don't know a great deal about him. If you want to, we can go back into Genesis and look at his lineage and find out who his grandfather was and his father and all these other things. We can look at Abraham and who he was and his lineage and all this other stuff, but we really don't know a great deal about Abraham. There's not a lot of told about him before his calling that God gave to him. We know this. We know that his dad was Terah, okay? We know his dad was Terah, and we'll look in Genesis. But what do we know about Terah? This is what we know about Terah, and this is what we know about Abraham before his call. If you have your Bible, take a look with me in Joshua chapter 24. And this is where it's starting to get a little complicated. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua is talking to the people of Israel, giving them a summary before they promise cross over. It says, "And Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel," in verse 1, "at Shechem. He summoned the elders, the leaders, and judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God." And verse 2 says, "Joshua said to all the people," here's the summary, he says, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says." So God is speaking through Joshua at this point in time. He says, "Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham of Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods." Did you hear that? So the father of Abraham, Terah, was a guy just like every other guy that lived back then, worshiping other gods. They didn't solely and completely worship God alone. As a matter of fact, Abraham evidently grew up worshiping these other gods because that's what his father did. So what was so special about Abraham, or Abram at that point in time, what was so special about Abram that God looked down on Abram and said, "That's the doc. That's the guy. That's the dude that I'm going to start this whole revelation through." What was so special about Abram that he looked down and says, "You know what? I'm going to start a movement through Abram. I'm going to make this whole thing. I'm going to make this whole plan, and it's going to come out through Abram." What was so special about Abraham? Anybody?
Can I give you the answer? Nothing. There wasn't anything special about him. The only thing special about Abram, or Abraham we call him now, the only thing special about him is that God chose him. That's it. God chose him. Out of all the people in all the world, God chose Abram. And he called him. Now you might be thinking, well, that's really great, Eldon, but what's so special about that? Well, what's so special about it is he's done the same thing with you. You see, if you have your Bibles, turn with me in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to begin at verse 4. It says, I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way. Listen to this. He's talking about you. Paul's talking to the Corinthians, but he's also talking to us right now. He says, I thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus, for in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and all your knowledge, because of our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of your Lord, of the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear what that's saying? He says, God's chosen you. And in fact, he says it very plainly in verse 9. He says, God who has called you into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ, is faithful. He says, God is faithful. And it's the same way that was going on back then. It wasn't Abraham faithful. It was God who was faithful in Abraham's life, who gave God, who gave Abraham the ability to do the things that he did. You see, it didn't start with Abraham. There was nothing just about Abraham in any way, shape, or form. It was God who chose Abraham. It was by God's choice. And it's the same way that you are where you are at right now today. It's because of God's choice. Flip over just one page in my Bible, over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, again, it says, verse 26, it says, brothers, think of what you were when you were what? When you were called. Think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. You see, we're called. You were called by God. And something about Abraham is absolutely amazing, because I read the story of Abraham in Genesis. I read it and I've got this mind, I got this thought in my mind that when God called Abraham, there was this thing that he called out to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. That's where we get it. That's where this whole thing, we get this calling. The Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's house. Hold and go to the land I will show you. It sounds like Abraham just dropped everything and just went to this land. He just dropped everything and went. And that's what we have in our mind, because that's kind of what we've been taught, that when God called Abraham, he dropped it all and just went. But you know what? That's not true. Do you realize that? Abraham was not this monster of faith, monster of belief, this great big huge human being that was like, when God called, he's just like, oh, wow, and he just dropped to his knees and he went to this place. That's not how it happened at all. As a matter of fact, I think he's a lot like you and me. In fact, I think he's almost exactly like you and me. Because if you read the whole story of what's happened here, look what's going on. If you just back up just a couple verses to verse 31 of chapter 1, and this is so cool. I hope you'll hang with me here. It says, Terah, okay, there's this whole account of Terah, which is Abraham's dad, all right? You've got Terah became the father of Abram. This is in verse 27. Nahor and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. And Lot's going to play a character thing in this in a little bit. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died. One of his sons died in the land of Ur and the Chaldeans, in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married The name of Abram's wife was Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Isaac. Now you're thinking, why is he adding all this stuff? Because it's important later on. This is important later on, who all these people are. Now Sarah was barren, she had no children. And then look in verse 21, or 31. It says, Terah took his son, Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and then he died in Haran. Okay, so what, Eldon? What does this matter? What's this have to do with tea in China? You know what I'm saying? What's going on here? Why does that matter? Because there's something going on that we don't realize. If you look in Genesis chapter 15, because we've got this idea that God called Abraham and he just dropped and he went to the promised land, started wandering around in these tents. But look in chapter 15. Chapter 15 of Genesis, verse 6, it says, Abraham believed the Lord and he credited him to his righteousness. And then it says, he also said to him, look what it says here. Now you got to get the details. He says, he also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. What? Okay, now keep your finger right there. It says here, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. Go back to Genesis chapter 11. Go to verse 12 where you get this whole thing where he's calling him into this country. He says, the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's house, and go to a land I will show you. So it sounds like this happened already, all right? Sounds like he got this call. But what did it say back here in verse 31? It says, Terah. It says, Terah took his son, Abram, his grandson Lot, Haran, and Sarah, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. And then they got caught up in Haran. What's going on here? You see, it tells me in verse 15 that God called Abram out of Ur. But I'm reading over here that Terah brought Abram out of Ur into the Chaldeans. Well, God doesn't pose a question without answering it. Look in Acts. In Acts chapter 7. This is so cool. Acts chapter 7. Got this guy named Stephen before the Sanhedrin. They're mad at him. They're about ready to stone him. What does this have to do with anything? Why does Stephen in Acts have anything to do with Abram and God and Ur and Canaan and all these different things? Look what's going on here. He's standing before the Sanhedrin, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, he stands before them. He says, the high priest asked him, are these things true? To this he replied, brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. That's Ur of the Chaldeans, okay? Before he lived in Haran, God came to him. Leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land I will show you. So he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran, just like the Bible says in Genesis, all right? After the death of his father, God sent him to this land where you are now living. I stumbled over this, and I scratched my head over this, and I was like, what is going on? Why are these things recorded? Why do we have this little story of going on here? What's going on? What's happening? And I just got to realizing the father of faith, the father of all who believe, Abram, the one we hold up in such high regard, I think he was a lot like us. I think he was a lot like me. I think he heard the call that God had said, and he sat there. And he's like, what's going on? And I think God has the ability to move through people who are not necessarily God followers. Because remember Terah? He was an idol worshiper. Remember that? But God used Terah to start Abram on his journey. God used him to start the journey. He started taking him from Ur of the Chaldeans and moved him into Haran through his father Abram. And when they were in Haran, then all of a sudden, Terah stopped. He's like, I'm comfortable here. I don't know what he said. I don't know why he stopped. But he stopped in Haran because actually, Terah was wanting to go all the way to the land of Canaan, but he stopped. He got to a place where he's comfortable, and he just stopped, and that's where he died at. Why is this so important? Because I see it so often. God will use whatever it takes to move you to where he wants you to go. Do Do you hear me? He'll use whatever it takes to move you where he wants you to go. You know why he does that? Because he's faithful. He's faithful. He has a plan for each and every one of your lives. You know what? I was looking at this and I was praying about this. I was like, what is going on? Why is this happening? What's going on? And all of a sudden I realized that, you know what? If we look back at our story, if we look back at your story, if I look back at my story, this is what increases our faith when we look back and see how God has been working, what he's been doing and how he's been doing it and why he's been doing it, right up to the point, because so many times we get stuck and we think that God's not there. We don't think that things are progressing the way we want them to progress. And all of a sudden we start realizing, if we start looking back and seeing how God worked in our life, that there's amazing things going on. God called you. He called you. Out of all the people of the earth, he called you, and there's a reason that he called you. I look back at my life, and I'm just going to share this real quick. Well, I don't know how quick it'll be, but I'll try to do this. I got to thinking back on where I'm at and how I got here. And I realized all the forces that God has used in my life to bring me to where I'm at. And that's why when I was singing that song, it just brought me to tears. It overwhelmed me, because you don't realize it as it's happening, what's going on and how God's doing it. It's not till later that you look back and you see how he's worked that it increases your faith, and you have the realization that where I'm at right now, it's not exactly where he wants me to be. It's not the end result. I remember back in high school, this is going to sound crazy, I'm going back a long ways. I remember back in high school, there was a point in time when I realized there was something, I was not a Christian, okay? I'd gone to church, I'd done all the things, I went to church like my mom and dad told me to, I went to all, did all the confirmation and all the stuff I was supposed to do, what I was told to do, what I was supposed to do, so on and so forth, but I did not have Christ in my heart. I had not gotten the indwelling of the Holy Spirit yet, because I had not submitted to him. But I remember there was a point in high school, before all these things happened, I remember there was a point in my senior year that I felt this call from God. I remember distinctly, and there was a timing thing, because I remember distinctly that I felt this calling that I was supposed to go and preach. And I remember thinking, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. I remember literally thinking that I must be going crazy if I think that I'm supposed to go preach. I thought that was absolutely crazy, and it was squelched pretty quickly, because there was this, I don't know, I don't want to explain all this, but there was like this little love triangle that I had going on in high school. And I know this sounds kind of silly, but there was a girl I liked, okay, and I liked her from junior high all the way through high school and all sort of stuff, and I thought she was just the most special girl. And she started going out with the guy that was kind of like, I don't know how to explain it, and I'm not going to give any names, but he was kind of like my Newman, you know what I mean? Newman, you know what I'm saying? And she was kind of going out with him and stuff like that, and it was always this tension and stuff, and we were always competing kind of for the same things. Like, I was doing plays, and he was always, you know, we were always trying out for the same roles and all this other stuff. He was a year older than me and all this other stuff. It was just kind of a weird thing going on, and I remember having that call in my life, and within like 2 weeks, I found out this Newman. I'm going to call him Newman. Is that all right? And I remember Newman. He was a year ahead of me, and he was going to college. He was going to U of I, and he was going to study. I had just found out he was going to study ministry. He was going to go into the ministry. And so it was like, boom, that's it right there. I'm not going to the ministry, because if he's going to the ministry, then I am not doing it. And so it was like, boom, I'm done with that. That's it. I'm finished with it. And I put it on my head, and I started chasing after my own plans, my own dreams, the things that I want to do. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to do that, so on and so forth. This is it. This is how I'm going to do. And you know what? I look back at that, and I see how God was using different areas of my life. And then I look at how God called me into what I'm doing, the people that he brought in my life. Number one is my wife. Wow. Without her, without that relationship that God started in our lives, I would never be where I'm at right now. Because through her and through her family, through her dad, God affirmed that calling in my life. It wasn't through, I love my mom and dad, okay? But that calling was not affirmed through my mom and dad. In fact, I remember when I told my mom, and I've told you this before, when I told my mom that I was going to quit everything and go to seminary and go into the ministry, she was mad at me. She was mad that I was giving up all my potential and all the stuff that I, you know, I could do, and you're throwing your life away and all this other stuff. She was upset with me. And I remember thinking, wow, this is not cool. It was one of those things that was heavy. But then I remember, and I'm not saying this because he's here. But I remember going to my father-in-law, Steve, who was sitting right over there. I was farming with him. Well, he was putting up with me is what was going on. And I'll just tell you real honest, I'd accepted Christ. I brought him in my life. I opened my heart up. I was baptized. I'd done all the things that I felt like he was calling me to do. But I was not living a great life at that point in time. I was still, and you knew that. I'm still not doing it right. But I wasn't doing all the things that a proper Christian should be doing. And I was still doing some things that proper Christians, in this mindset, that we shouldn't be doing. And he knew that. But when I went to him, and he was like my last resort. I was like, man, I'll go to Steve, and I'm going to tell him that I'm going to think about quitting the farm and going to seminary. And, you know, he'll set me straight. I know he'll, you dummy, you can't do that. Look how bad you are. Look at the dumb things you're doing. I knew that he would kind of be like my mom to say, you know what, you're wasting your time. Don't do that. But he was the guy who says, well, it's about time you figured that out. I remember that. I remember those words. It's about time you figured that out. You see, God uses all kinds of people in our life to guide us and direct us to the place that he wants us to be. In Abram's life, in Abram right here, you know what? Maybe he was sitting on his hands, and God says, you know what? I'm going to use your dad, who's not a follower of me, and I'm going to move you on the road. And you know what? I imagine when that day came, when Terah came to Abram and said, you know what? I've got this crazy idea. Let's move to Canaan. I imagine what was going through Abram's mind at that point in time when he heard his dad, who was not a God follower, and all of a sudden his dad comes and says, you know what? Let's pack everything up. Let's pack it all up, and let's head off to Canaan. I can just imagine what was going through Abram's mind, what a confirmation that had to have been in his heart, because he knew that God had called him to a new place. And all of a sudden, his dad was willing to pack up his whole life, his whole clan, not his whole clan, he's leaving one son behind, but pack up his life and start moving. And all of a sudden, Abram's like, wow, something's going on here. Something interesting is happening. They get halfway there. I don't know if it was halfway or not, but they get to Haran, and all of a sudden, Terah stops. And Abram's like, wow, what's going on here? And they lived there for a period of time. I don't know how long it was. You can probably figure it out if you want to. But they lived there until Abram died. No, until Terah died, excuse me. They lived there until Terah died. And all of a sudden, we have a reconfirmation. We have this aha moment that Abram's got back here in Genesis again. Back here in Genesis, we have this moment where all of a sudden God reminds them, or something happens. It says, they remember the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's house, and go to the land I will show you. He says, I'll make you into a great nation, I will bless you, and I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left, as the Lord had said, as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Now, that sounds like, we should probably stop the story there. We should probably stop it, because Abram arrived. He arrived in the promised land. He arrived in Canaan, the land that God was going to promise him. As a matter of fact, it tells him this in a couple pages later. It says, a couple verses later, it says in verse 7, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he arrives in Canaan, and all of a sudden, God increases the promise. He says, not only am I going to bless you, not only will all the nations of the world be blessed for you, but when he gets there, he says, I'm going to give you this land. And so many people, when they hear the promise of God, they just like, wow. And so they just, and this is okay, I guess, at times, but you got to be careful. They hear the promise of God, they hear what he's going to do for them, and they just claim it, and they just sit down and say, like, this is it. So it's my promise. And so there, I'm going to sit here and claim it. But you know what? You got to understand what God was doing. He was doing something special with Abram. He was growing him into the person that he desired him to be. And so many times Christians, and myself included, so many times we get stuck. I'm so glad that Abram didn't get stuck. He didn't arrive in the land. God said, I'm going to give you this land. So he just plots his little piney down and says, this is it. I'm just going to stay right here because this is what God promised me. So many people do that. So many people think they've just arrived. And they stop. You see what I'm saying metaphorically here? They get to the promise that I love you. You're mine. You're my child. I got a plan and a future for you. You know, you got heaven promised to you, and we just stop. But that's not what God's looking for. He's looking for us to walk, listen, to walk by faith and not by sight. This is a journey that we're on, okay? And we haven't reached the destination. It's a walk that he calls us to every single day. There's no room for just stopping and saying, I've arrived, because you haven't arrived. Abraham didn't arrive. He recognized that. He understood it. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11, what's going on here? Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home. Listen to what it says. He made his home in the promised land like a stranger. He made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him as the same promise. You see, he didn't settle in. If you look at the story of Abram, it was going to be a long time. It was going to be a long time before the land was given to him. And I was talking with Nathan this morning. It bothers me. It bothers me that it became about the land for the Israelites. It bothers me that it's still, listen, that it's still about the land. They're still fighting over it. They're still claiming, well, our father Abraham told us that this was our land, and when, you know, this is our land, you got to get off the land. And we're in that fight. You realize that even as Christians, we're in that fight about this land, Israel. And yes, I understand it's important. I understand it's part of the promise. But you know what? That land is just a hunk of dirt. That is not the promise. That land is going to be destroyed like all the other land. The promise that's really in the midst of what's going on, and that promise that he gave to Abraham and to the Jews and all this other stuff, is the relationship and the promise of the future of what is to come that Abraham's talking about. It's not about Israel. It's not about Jerusalem. Those are places. God, why can't we get this through our heads? God is not about stuff and about possessions and about things. Not only is it not about Jerusalem and not about Israel, it's not about those things. It's not about the things that we are grabbing onto and hanging onto so hard. It's about the relationship that he's calling us to. You see, the possession of the land that he wants us to have and experience and to live in is this land that he's talking about in the very next verse. It's very simple. It's for he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. You see, the land that he wants us to possess, the land that he wants us to inherit, the land that he wants us to live in is heaven. That's the place that he's prepared for us. That's the place that he's anticipating. That's the place that we're going to spend eternity. Not this. Not anything like this. This is a broken garbage dump that we're experiencing now. Every place in this world, the place that is going to be true and real and eternal is that place that he has prepared for us in heaven. That's the place. That's the promise. You know what? I shouldn't say these things because I know I'm going to make somebody mad. But if they could just get it And when I say they, I mean me and the rest of you and the Jewish nation. If they could just understand what the real promise is Christ. The real promise is the future that God has in store for us. If they could just get that, I think this whole Israel thing and Jerusalem thing would be solved. If they would recognize that it's Jesus that the promise is what the promise is. It's Jesus, the fulfillment of this new promise that God gave to Abraham. That's the ultimate goal. It was never a piece of ground. It was the hope of that relationship with God. That hope of eternity in the house that God has prepared for each and every one of us. That's the land. That's the land that's flowing with milk and honey. That's the land whose streets are paved with gold. That's the land who's got the crystal sea. That's what God has in store for us. But so many of us, including the people in this book, have gotten stuck in the past. Have gotten stuck in their comfortableness, where they want to go to, as far as they want to go. And we're the same way. Where are you at? Are you continuing to grow? Are you continuing to be open to what God has called you to do? Are you continuing to be living in a tent, not a home? And I don't mean a physical place. I'm talking, is your life open to where He's calling you? Are you willing to move? And I don't mean, how do I say it? Do you know what I say when I say, are you willing to move? I don't mean, well, I got to pack up all my possessions in my, you know, out of my house and I got to go to another place. No, I'm saying, are you willing to move to where God is calling you? Are you willing to do the things that He's calling you to do? Or have you got to a place that you're just stuck, that you're sitting in Iran saying, this is as far as I want to go? This is it. You see, Abraham, was the father of all who believed because he kept moving. He had questions. He had doubts. If you just keep reading, just very quickly, he's going to say, how can all this be because I don't have an heir? He had all kinds of questions. He had all kinds of doubts. But you know what? He kept moving. He kept moving till the very end. He kept looking to the promise that God had set before him. He recognized that the dwelling place that he was going to inherit was not a piece of ground. It was that fellowship with God. Are we doing that? Do we believe? Are we moving forward in our faith? Are we getting stuck on the things that are here? You know, I ask that question of myself quite a bit, especially here lately. It's easy to get comfortable. Yes? It's easy and so simple to become complacent and think, this is good. This is good enough. I'm in a good spot. The challenge of faith, the challenge of a reliance on God and walking by faith and not by sight is allowing Him to move you, being open to His Spirit, and knowing that He has the perfect plan. I love what's going on in this passage with Abraham. I love the language that he's speaking. I love the idea that he says that they lived in tents. Do you realize that that same theme is carried on through 1 Corinthians through Paul? Do you realize that you're a tent? That's how He intended you to be. This dwelling place, is this a temporary thing? He's calling you to something so much more. He's calling you to something so much more. I often get the question from people, what does He want me to do? What does He want me to do? And I have the same answer for everyone. I don't know what He's calling you to do. I know where He's calling you to be. There's a big difference. Because I know the place that He's calling us to be is the same. Do you hear me? The way that we get there and the path that he takes each one of us to that place is going to be different. It all runs through one road. It's a narrow road. It's not a wide road. It's a narrow road. It's the road of Jesus. But the road of Jesus for each one of us is going to take us in different directions. And we're going to intercross, and we're going to cross paths, and we're going to run parallel at times. But each one of our lives is a little bit different on how he wants us to get there. But we all have to continue getting there. If we want to receive the blessings that he has for this life, then we've got to walk that walk. We can't be afraid. We got to stop holding on to the past, and we got to use the past to look back to see how God has been faithful. It's just been, I'm excited about what's coming for me and my family. I don't know what it is, but I'm excited. These are not tears of fear. These are tears of joy because he's allowed me to look back and see how faithful he has been. How faithful he's been. And how he's moved me through non-Christians and Christians and all kinds of different ways. It's amazing what God has used in my life to bring me to where I'm at. And it's amazing to know that he still has a plan. And all he's asking of me and my family is to just be faithful. And to follow him. And be open to him. And that's the same not just for me, it's for every single one of you. If you're called. If you're called. You've responded to that call, then he's yours and you're his, and he loves you. I don't know what the future brings. I really don't. I know what the ultimate future brings, but I don't know what's going to happen next week or next month or next year. I know the promises that God has laid upon my heart. I know they're going to come true. I really do. I know he's working in amazing ways, and I can trust him. My job as his child is to be open and ready for what he wants to do next and to follow him. And it's the same for you. Don't dig your heels in. Don't hang on to the past. Trust him. Where is he calling you? What's he using in your life right now to take you to that next place, to that next step in your walk with him? What's he using? Sometimes the best way to figure that out is to see what he's used in the past. Where is he taking you? And go. I'm done. Yeah. We have not even started to scratch the surface with this dude, Abraham. I think he has a lot to teach us. We're going to be looking at for the next couple weeks this guy, Abraham, and his wife, Sarah, and the lessons that he's wanting to teach us. If you're called, respond. Keep following him. What circumstances have brought you here this morning? What has brought you to this point, and why are you here? There's a reason. Are you going to follow it? Are you going to respond to it? Or is it just another day? You have to make that choice. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. There's something else I'm supposed to say, but I don't know what it is, so I'm just going to stop right there. Maybe it'll come through someone else, and I'm excited to hear it. So let's stand as we sing.